there are things that need to be done. So it's really understanding how you get the balance of all of those things. Going through this process helps to train you to understand what's important. The further and further you go into this process, the more you realize what's really important and what you thought used to be important that maybe isn't as important. Welcome to Influence by Design. This is the podcast for coaches, healers, and experts dedicated to mastering the art of influence to accelerate business growth and impact. Discover transformative strategies that turn your expertise into expansive success. I have a quick favor to ask. We've noticed less than 25% of listeners on this podcast are subscribed to the show. The simplest way you can help us this year is by tapping the follow button on the app that you're listening to the show on right now. It's free, it's straightforward, and it's incredibly impactful. As we strive to elevate every aspect of our show in 2024, your follow will allow us to attract even more highly acclaimed guests. Thank you so much. Your support means the world to us. Welcome to today's episode of Influence by Design. I'm your co-host for today, Samantha Riley, and joined by my good friend, Tim Hyde. How are you, Tim? Back joining me for another episode?
I am back for another episode. You know, I miss it when I'm away. But yeah, back. Lots going on. Got my first tattoo this week. So I spent a day in the chair getting stabbed with a needle for 7.5 hours.
And is it worth it?
I really like the results. I'm getting lots of really positive feedback and comments on it. I'm sure there are people out there like my mother was like, oh my God, you got a tattoo.
The bright side is we're adults. We don't really need to worry about what our mothers think of our tattoos. No, and when I say our, it only includes you because I have virgin skin.
Oh, you're a clean skin, as they say, right?
I am.
But it was good. It was good to chat. Even interesting, you know, just keeping an eye on what was going on as I sort of sat in a tattoo parlor. I was just chatting with my tattooist. And, you know, he's got a little sign, you know, in a sort of trolley, I guess, that, you know, patrons can stick their luggage or food or whatever in it. Right? And at the bottom of it's got, you know, here's get the Google review, you know, review me on Google. Here's the QR code.
Ah.
And of course, it's got 5 gold stars in it. Right. And I said, oh, do you point, and I just talked to him and said, do you point that out to people that, you know, you'd love a you know, as people look at their new tattoo and the new art and they go, oh my God, that's amazing. Right. Because it always looks fantastic when you first do it. And he says, oh, I've never actually thought about it. I've never actually specifically pointed that out or asked for someone to give me a review.
Ah, I'm guessing he's going to from this point forward.
Well, I hope so. I'm going to test him out next time and see if he actually does it. But
100%, yeah.
You know, we forget how important that, you know, I guess asking your customers how their experience was, what they liked about it, getting that feedback, right? And then if it's a really positive testimonial, okay, actually say, hey, would you mind sharing that with other people? You know, tell other people about us. So, I went a little bit of the way, not quite far enough.
Totally. I think that this is really important. We went to a restaurant a few months ago and we got an email the next day saying, we hope you enjoyed your dinner last night, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah.
But also a huge opportunity missed, and I emailed them back and said, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for the email. Yes, we absolutely enjoyed it. But if you actually ask for a Google review at this time, that would be a lot, you know, a lot better for you. So it was a huge missed opportunity. I also know that, and we've been back to the restaurant since, and I have left a Google review, fabulous restaurant, but they haven't implemented that. And I think that's a shame because it's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I completely agree. There's so much of this stuff that when we get positive feedback or we've demonstrated value to a client that we should be always, always, always giving them the next thing we want them to do.
Totally. Okay?
Just like your kids. You get them to clean the bedroom, you give them an ice cream, so they'll do it again.
I would clean my bedroom for an ice cream right now.
Yeah, okay, done. All right, podcast over. Sam's got some chores to do.
But that's not, this topic isn't actually what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to decide what is it to do next on your list. And I know this has come up on many of my client calls recently, of I've got this list of a million things to do, How do I prioritize that? How do I make sure I don't get overwhelmed? How do I make sure that I'm ticking things off and moving forward instead of sitting on, on my laptop with 50,000 tabs open and keep going on to Facebook and the little red mark on emails that says I've got, a new email come in. And I think that this is a really important topic for business owners. And it's something that a lot of people coming from corporate into opening their businesses struggle with, because all of a sudden there isn't the boundaries there of we're clocking in at a certain time. We need to make sure that we're getting the work done. Otherwise, we've got our boss breathing down our back. All of a sudden, we're the only ones that are in control of our calendar. And a lot of people can get to trouble here by letting time seep.
Yeah, that's a massive thing, right? The time seep. And I think it happens to experienced business owners like you and I, Sam. Because I know for both of us this week, we've just gone, oh my God, where did the week go? And like I didn't finish work until 10 o'clock, 10:30 last night. And I was completely brain dead and going, I don't think I've eaten dinner yet.
Oh,
And I
wow.
just let stuff get a little bit sort of out of hand. So it does even happen, even when you've got systems and structures in place to sort of catch up, right? As I've said before, and I know you have as well, right? Running a business is this thing that'll chew up all your available time and then won't be unapologetic about coming to ask for more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, there's always a million things to do. So today we want to talk about the systems that we use in our business, because I'm guessing that you're not having that. I haven't had dinner and working at 10:30 at night every night. Or I'd
Oh,
hope so anyway.
come
Hang
on.
on, maybe I should have
No.
asked
No, 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 no. I
the
am not a fan of doing that every night. Look, and I've adjusted my calendar this year. I know, that long-time listeners of the show would definitely know from what our process is, Sam, that, both you and I try to sort of either take Friday off entirely or like knock off on at midday on Friday because, the week can
100%.
be so intensive that you kind of want to go, all right, I need to kind of just chill. I need that kind of relax, get away space. And it's that time out that almost allows you to be more effective when you're in as well, right? So I know last night by 10:30, I was like, I need to get this proposal out. I'm brain dead. My mind's not functioning. Thankfully, the battery on my keyboard went flat. Like
That's the universe saying, go to
literally with
bed,
five
Tim.
words left to write in this proposal, I still couldn't hit send on it, which was so I got that out fairly early this morning. But I do think we fall into this trap sometimes of going, well, what do we need to do next? And I know this week for you, Sam, has been crazy busy with some back-end operational admin-y kind of stuff. I have perhaps foolishly scheduled in four podcasts today when I should be preparing for a presentation I need to do at my B&I group tomorrow morning. Thankfully, it's almost finished. But there's sometimes what I think we just bite off more than we can chew, and we don't get to the other things that should be done in the week. And I thought we'd get into today just to like, what's a process that you can kind of implement, adapt for whatever your purposes are to go, well, what are my priorities for the week? What are the non-negotiables that must happen? Right. And then even breaking that down, almost sort of rolling that process into almost a day-by-day structure, because we all know stuff comes up during the week.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So, how about I start off with the process that I use? And obviously, we're two different people, obviously. We work differently, our brains work differently. So, we both have very different systems. And we both have different ideas around that. So we're both going to share because it may help someone out there that doesn't think like the other one. That's what I'm trying to say. So we start off with a weekly system and then move to a daily system. So in our weekly system, either on Sunday, we used to do this on Sunday, but we've actually started to do this Monday morning. So you just kind of got to go with the flow of what works for you. But Leon and I sit down and we quickly map out what went well. We map out what didn't go so well, and we map out where we need support for the week. Because what didn't work well, if we don't ask the question, where do we need support, the things that aren't going well are going to continue to not get done, or continue to be a thorn in our side, or continue to be the things that keep us awake at night, taking up our thoughts. You know, that's where this decision fatigue comes in. So it's trying to get rid of as much of that as possible, so we don't have that decision fatigue, and that we continue to move at a pace that means that we're always moving forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, look, I do a similar process. Like most mornings I'll start at 7 a.m. and I know you start at a very similar time, Sam, because we've got clients both in Australia and the US, and there's a, you know, there's a significant overlap when you start at about 7. I don't do before 7 because I just find I'm not effective. But Monday is very different for me, right? So Monday I won't have any client meetings until 10 a.m. Right, which, and it doesn't mean I necessarily get to sleep in and just sort of unwind from the weekend. I am in the office, but it's doing a very similar process to you and saying, you know, I need to work out what does success this week look like, what didn't work well last week that needs to be brought forward. Right, I'll go and look at some of the performance metrics for the business for the last week, the last month, and go, what are we on track? What do we need to change and reprioritize this week that needs to be done. Right. So again, it's a very similar process. I just make sure that I don't get there until 10 o'clock. And that just gives me that little time to say what's happening and then kind of refocus on what needs to happen today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. So you sort of do your daily and weekly planning, it sounds like, together.
Look, a little. The other thing I'll do sort of on a weekly basis, I kind of do like a priority matrix. Okay, so I'll say, what are the three things that have to happen this week? Right. And I'll break that down. And I do this on almost on a daily basis as well, right? So I know there's other stuff in the calendar each week, right? You know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11 a.m., I'm doing sales follow-up, for example, right? It won't be client meetings. I literally got it blocked out for things. You know, at 4:30 every day, I'll stop to go and check emails and you know, follow up on a couple of forums groups that I'm in that I need to sort of might need to respond to stuff in. You know, there's always a couple of podcasts. There's this one that I do with you. You know, I'll usually record one or two of my own episodes for More Clients, Less Effort, which is my podcast, which I, you know, do every single week. Okay, so those are kind of non-negotiables. They're in there somewhere, you know, each and every week. And I know I've got a couple of regular client catch-ups as you do as well, and team meetings, right? But I'll look at the three things and say, what are the three priorities for this? And what I like to do with that is go, what is one thing that I know will move the needle? Right? What's my, you know, sales follow-up? So it might be a proposal I need to write, and I'll diarize that. I'll put that into my calendar, right? What is something that I have been putting off for ages, right? It keeps coming up that needs to be done, and I'll put that in the calendar as well, right? And what is a must-do thing, right? Now, usually that in terms of a client deliverable, what is the thing that I've promised to a client? What's the workshop I have to deliver this week? You know, when is that going to fit in? And that will go in there as well, right? So what I've been putting off, what's a must-do thing, right? And what's a move-the-needle thing?
I like that. So we do a separate daily kind of reflection and setting things up as well. So we do our weekly reflection, which I've already talked about. But every day before I start, I get really clear on what is my intention for today. Where was I uncomfortable yesterday? So that might be uncomfortable because I didn't get enough sales calls booked. It might be uncomfortable because I put off a task that I should have done. It might be uncomfortable because I was really low on energy. But really bringing that to the forefront, like, where was I uncomfortable? And then from that, it helps me to really put together my top three tasks for the day. Now, I'm going to be brutally honest. I do normally put more than three tasks on my to-do list, but I make sure that I get my top three done. So some things will get moved along. Now, what's really interesting about this is there are some things that we have to do all the time, like client delivery. You can't say to your clients, "We're not going to have a call this week because I've been too busy and I have no time to do a coaching call." Like, it can't happen. So, there are client delivery that must be scheduled in, and it must be on that list. However, we also make, as you mentioned, we need to make sure that we're attracting new leads. that we're getting sales calls booked in. You know, we've got a saying in our business, leads every day, sales every week. And if we're not hitting that, then those top three priorities need to change. That they need to be right up there. But then there's also the things, as you mentioned before, like those admin things. Some things can't be put off. We have to file our taxes. You know, there are certain, we have to reconcile our accounts. There are things that need to be done. So it's really understanding how you get the balance of all of those things, making sure that the admin's done. So, you know, so that you stay compliant, making sure that you're delivering on what clients have paid you for, and also making sure that you have leads and sales being booked into your calendar. So I think that, you know, as you and I were preparing for this episode, something that came up for me was that going through this process helps to train you to understand what's important. The further and further you go into this process, the more you realize what's really important and what you thought used to be important that maybe isn't as important. You'll start to let that kind of slide a little bit and realize that it's not really moving the needle on your business as much as you thought it did, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I take away from that, Sam, is the stuff that keeps coming up for us, right? You know, should either be deleted from your list altogether, delegated to someone, right? Or automated in some way to say, this thing keeps coming up. I need to either delegate it to someone on my team, outsource it, right? So if you find you never get to the bookkeeping and you've got your accounts 3, 6, 9, 12 months unreconciled. And you don't, and you're avoiding it. It has to be done. I mean, you know, this is thing is part of your business process, right? Like sales are part of your business process. But if you find that you're not getting to them and you keep putting off it over to other things, right? There's a subconscious context in and around why are you doing this? And if it keeps coming up, just be really honest with yourself and go, I just don't like doing it. I'm going to give this function to somebody else, or find a way to get it out of my business altogether.
Let's talk about that very quickly because I don't want to get stuck on this. What for you is the difference between I don't like doing it and I'm going to outsource it, and I don't like doing it, but let's just get it done?
I think it's sort of the prioritization. And if I'm reflecting back to just your comment about, you know, if you've come into your business from corporate, the first thing you tend to do is just control your inbox, right? You are literally running everything out of your inbox, right? And that was certainly me. I have my Gmail account open all day, every single day, but I literally only go in there maybe once or twice a day for 10 minutes now. And it's not that it isn't being responded and prioritized and stuff. Because I was finding it was taking me so much time and not moving the needle and not adding value, was adding value, but not the most value that I could bring to the table. I've gone and hired Lucy, my EA, to manage my inbox for me. Now I've had to train her how to do it, right? And that's, but over, you know, the 2 years that Lucy's been on my team, I now barely need to touch my inbox at all because she'll just pick up and respond to stuff. So someone's requested a podcast, she just goes and arranges the podcast.
I
Right?
love
If
it.
someone says, hey, I'm after that document or that template, she just goes and gets the documents and templates and sends them on, right, to clients. Right. I don't have to do that. And what I've found is that wasn't really the most effective use of my time. Right. And a little bit of honesty, B, a little bit of letting go of control of some of this stuff. Right. But now that 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes every time it comes in, or the filing and deletion of other rubbish that ends up in her inbox, right? You know, she just takes care of it. And those, you know, that 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes now, which happens 10, 15, 20 times a day, has now freed me up to do an hour of really, really valuable activity in my business that needs my level of expertise, needs my personal interaction with that customer, you know, needs me to be on that sales call.
I'm going to give a little slight, a slightly different spin on this for how this works for me is that I think about from a values perspective or a goals perspective, what's really important for me from the outset. I have mentioned on this podcast a million times, I actually don't love looking after admin and finances. It actually is a massive thorn in my side. However, I don't outsource it. And the reason that I don't is because I want to have 100% finger on the pulse when it comes to the finances of my company. I want to know exactly everything that's happening. So for me, it's because even though I hate it and I do put it off sometimes, I'm not superhuman. There are some times where I really have to force myself to, eat the frog and get it done. But I do it rather than outsource this particular task because I want to know, where our company's heading. I don't ever want any nasty surprises down the track. And I think that it doesn't matter how, and I could be wrong here, and maybe I haven't met the right people or I haven't brought the right people in, but the finances for my company isn't as important to anyone else as it is to me. So I
Right.
want to make sure that I know what's going on. So I am a huge delegator. I delegate just about everything, but that particular thing I don't, even though I don't enjoy doing it, because the end goal is far too important for me to hand over that control.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting point on that one, Sam, is that whilst you can delegate the reconciliation, you shouldn't. You know, it's you're not abandoning responsibility, the financial responsibility to
Yes.
this, right? So get it reconciled weekly, but don't, whilst you're not reconciling, spend the time with your bookkeeper, kind of understanding your numbers, or with your
Yeah.
accountant saying, well, where are we
Yes.
this week? What's our cash flow? Where do I need to focus? What am I spending a lot of money? What, you know, what costs are increasing that I may not be aware of? Yeah.
Yeah, as you're going through all those numbers, you'll see, huh, I noticed that payment came out of my account. I actually don't need that software. That's not going to be picked up by anyone else in your business. And that's, by me being in my books and go, ha, we can cancel that payment straight away. So just having that control over what's going on means that I can keep my business tight.
Yeah. And look, that's not to say that at a certain point you won't completely get rid of that as well, right? You know, add another two zeros onto your company and you won't be doing that because there'll be 6,000 things you need to reconcile a day, not just, you know,
Yeah,
50,
that's right. But then
30, 50.
it's figuring out, well, yeah, where do I want to spend my time and where am I going to get the maximum benefit? I can tell you that I will never fully hand that over because I just know what's really important to me. So I just think that was an interesting little take. Let's talk about how we set up our weeks just really quickly so that we do have time to do these kinds of things because I think it's really important to have time in your calendar to work on your business. This is something that's really, really important to you and I. It's something that is, I believe, very important to any business owner. And it's something I go through with my clients as they onboard. Like, where are you putting it in your calendar? Is it, 3 afternoons a week? Is it 2 full days a week? Like, how does that look? So, how does this look for you?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I have that sort of period Monday morning. You know, I might come into the office at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. Yeah, but I'll do that 8 to 10, which is planning. I do a very similar thing, sort of lunchtime on Friday. I'm still, you know, fingers crossed I can keep it up, right? But I'm still sort of finishing up my day by midday on Friday. I know you do this as well. You go out for lunch with Leon, but I'll try and do the same thing. I'll go for a lunch, I'll catch up, I might do some networking stuff, just catching up with partners on a Friday afternoon. And whilst it's building the business, it's not the kind of intensity that you'd find during the rest of the week. So I definitely do that. Every day between 4 and 5, I have a what we call a catch-up period, right? Because we know that sometimes shit just comes up that needs to be dealt with, right?
It
And
does,
so
yeah.
pretty much from 4 to 5 every single day, I'll have that kind of in there to go, okay, well, I need to get this done for tomorrow, right? You know, staff members are behind on that thing. I need to jump in and give them some assistance on that to get it across the line. I try where possible, right? Because we're starting to get it's starting to get a long day if you're 7 till 5. Is that if nothing's come up, I'll look at the rest of the week and say what needs to be brought forward, right? Or take the time off. Right. So I tend to do my planning. I tend to do my sort of planning weekly and monthly, more so than more so than sort of on a, you know, a micro day-to-day sort of thing. But
Yeah,
I know I've got
yeah.
those, I know I've got those sort of, you know, sacred times, if you will. I've got that sacred selling time every single day, right? You know, I've
Yeah.
got, you know, a couple of times a week, I've got that sort of Monday morning blocked out to sort of look at the week. You know, we've got our team meeting booked in at the same time every single week, right? And then
Love
some
that.
time before that to go and prepare for the team meeting and say, well, what do I need to communicate this week?
Yeah, totally. I love that so much. I don't have any client deliverables or any client-facing activities all day Monday or all day Friday. I only have my calendar open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because Monday morning it's setting the week up. We do have team meeting late on Monday morning. Monday afternoon's just like really, what's the preparation that we need to do for everything that's going on? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I do client-facing activities, but I'm done by quite early in the afternoon. Doesn't mean I finish early in the afternoon, but I only am working sort of morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on camera, face to face, recording episodes. Because as you know, Tim, and have experienced, my brain doesn't quite work in the afternoon. We've attempted recording late afternoon before. It's not pretty, is it?
It's not great in the
No,
afternoon.
it's not, because I start really early. So by lunchtime, early afternoon, I'm done. That doesn't mean that I don't work, like I said, but it's at my own pace. It's just working on the business.
It's also a change of intensity, isn't it? You know, when you're with clients, you've got to be really on your game.
On. Well, they're paying us. They deserve to have the best of us. So make sure, and that's something that I'm really big on, when you are at your best, that's when you show up. And whatever that is for you, it doesn't need to fit in for anyone else. Other people need to fit in with you at your best. Work on what works for you.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's a really good point, actually, Sam, just saying about that, right? If your best is in the evening, right, take all your meetings in the evening. If you find clients who said, I can only meet mornings, right, and that's not when you do your best work, well, guess what? They're probably not the best clients for you either. But don't be afraid to kind of refer those on to other people who can serve them better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're a mum that only wants to work when your kids are at school, then don't take a 6 o'clock meeting. Just don't do it. Like, boundaries are so important. It's your business, your rules.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
that's something that I remind myself all the time. And even Leon sometimes will do something and be like, no, babe, your business, your rules. It has to work for you. You know, otherwise, why are we doing this? Like that at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think with all of these, right? So we've, you know, hopefully you've sort of taken away some structure from how Sam and I sort of approach prioritization for the week. Those priorities do change on a week-to-week basis, but getting that system in place, I think, to go, well, how do I approach my week so that I get the most effectiveness from my available business energy, you know, my business battery, if you will, that I'm putting in, right? And, you know, because we've got all those other batteries as well, our social battery and whatever else. But, you know, structure your week around where you work best, thinking again about those kind of three areas. What moves us forward? What do I need to deliver to customers? And what is kind of the admin of operating the business that all the things I might have been putting off that actually need to get done as well, right? Get all those things in
Absolutely.
your week and you'll find that you progress a lot better. And again,
Absolutely. But if you're in a
accept.
position, I do want to just tie this up really quickly and say, if you don't have sales calls in your calendar, that is the priority every time. Because without sales, your business will die and the rest is irrespective. Like, sales are the lifeblood of your business. So
Is
if
the
there was
oxygen.
one thing that you need to do is make sure that you've got leads and sales happening every single week.
Completely agree.
Love it.
Great
Hopefully, we've
insights,
given
Sam.
you some ideas in the way that we run our business. Hopefully, that you can take some of those takeaways and, maybe use some of those insights and work around them for a way that works specifically for you. We would love to hear any insights that you have that might help other people. please reach out on our socials, which you'll find just down below the show notes, wherever you're listening, and let us know what are your productivity hacks. How do you make sure that you're getting all of the important things done in your business each week? Tim, thanks for sharing.
Thanks,
It's
Sam.
been great to chat, and we will all catch you on another episode of Influenced by Design next time. Ciao.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influenced by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influenceddesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influenceddesignpodcast.com.